Ever been amazed by how, say, a self-driving car figures out how to navigate a busy street? It seems like it's learning as it goes, right? Or maybe how a game-playing AI gets so good, mastering really complex strategies just by, well, playing.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible stuff.
That ability, to learn through experience, just trying things out and seeing what sticks, that's really the core of what we're diving into today, reinforcement learning. It's basically machines learning from their own mistakes and successes.
That's a great way to put it. Reinforcement learning, or RL as we often call it, it's this really fascinating slice of AI.
Right.
Instead of feeding it all the answers up front, like in some other types of machine learning, RL machines, they learn through feedback.
Feedback. Like how?
Well, you can almost think of it like training a pet, me, with treats for doing the right thing and, gentle corrections for mistakes.
Okay, I can picture that.
The whole point is for the machine, we usually call it the agent, to figure out the best way to hit a specific goal. It does this just by interacting with its surroundings and getting this feedback.
So in this deep dive, we're going to try and unpack the main ideas behind reinforcement learning. We'll look at how this learning actually happens, get into some of the key terms, the jargon, I guess,
Which always jargon.
always. And we'll touch on the different algorithms, the different flavors of RL, and maybe talk about some of the really cool ways it's already being used out there.
Sounds good. And, to make it maybe a bit more grounded, think about something really basic. A baby learning to walk.
Okay.
There's no instruction manual, right? The baby just tries. They wobble, they fall down.
Definitely
They
happens.
get back up, try again. And through all that back and forth, that interaction with the floor, gravity, their own bodies, and the feedback, standing up feels better than falling eventually, they figure it out.
They learn that complex coordination.
Exactly. And reinforcement learning, it kind of works on that same fundamental idea of learning through doing and seeing what happens.
Okay, so let's get into the nuts and bolts then. How does that feedback loop actually work inside the machine?
Right. So at its absolute core, RL involves an agent that's our learner, the machine.
Got it.
It's interacting with its environment, everything outside the agent it can interact with or sense.
Okay.
Now, the agent perceives the environment's current situation. We call that the state.
The state it's in makes sense.
Based on that state, the agent decides to do something, it takes an action.
Okay.
And here's the crucial bit. The environment responds. It gives the agent some feedback, usually as a numerical reward.
The treat or the correction?
Sort of,
Yeah.
yeah. It could be positive, hey, that was a good move, or negative, nope, that didn't work out so well.
Okay.
And the agent's big picture goal, it's to learn a strategy, we call this a policy, that helps it get the most possible reward over the long run.
Maximize the total reward it collects over time.
Precisely. Not just the next reward, but the cumulative reward.
Can we make that even more concrete? Maybe with an example.
Sure, let's go back to that idea of an AI playing chess.
Okay, chess bot.
The environment is the board, the pieces, and the opponent's moves.
Right.
The state is just the current layout of all the pieces on the board.
Simple enough.
Our agent, the chess program, makes a move.
Yep.
That's its action.
Okay.
Now, it might not get a reward immediately after every single move. That would be a bit
Yeah,
much.
you don't win or lose after one move.
Exactly. But as the game goes on, certain moves tend to lead to better positions, maybe capturing a piece, controlling the center, and eventually, hopefully, winning the game. Winning would be a big positive reward,
And losing.
a big negative reward. And bad moves along the way, moves that put it in a worse position, might even get small negative rewards, depending on how you set it up.
So over tons and tons of games.
Over many, many games, yes, the agent starts to connect the dots. It learns to associate making this move when the board looks like this with a higher chance of getting that eventual win.
It sounds like you'd need a way to structure all this, especially with all the possibilities and, uncertainty involved. Is that where the Markov decision process fits in? I think I've heard that term.
You nailed it. The Markov decision process, or MDP, is the mathematical scaffolding for a lot of RL.
Scaffolding, okay.
What makes MDPs really useful is how they handle situations where things aren't perfectly predictable. They use probability.
Oh, okay. probability.
Yeah, they model the chance of ending up in a new state and getting a certain reward after the agent takes an action in its current state. So it's not just if I do A, B happens. It's if I do A, B happens with this probability, C happens with that probability.
Right, because the real world isn't always deterministic.
Exactly. And that probabilistic approach is key for building RL algorithms that can actually learn effective strategies or policies in messy, complex environments where you just can't predict everything perfectly.
That still feels a little abstract, the MDP part.
Mm-hmm.
Can we maybe try another analogy to bring it down to earth?
Absolutely. Let's think about maybe a student in a classroom trying to learn a subject.
Okay, I was a student once. I can relate.
So the student is our agent. The
yeah.
subject matter, the course, that's the environment.
Right.
They try different ways to learn, maybe going to lectures, reading the textbook, forming a study group, doing practice problems. Those are their actions.
All those study methods.
Exactly. And the feedback. That comes as grades on homework, quizzes, exams. Those are the rewards, hopefully positive.
Hopefully.
And the student's goal is obviously to get the best possible grades overall in the course, right? Maximize their reward.
Sure.
So they'll probably tweak their study habits based on what seems to work. If reading the textbook leads to good quiz scores, they'll do more of that. If the study group just turns into chat sessions.
Maybe less of that.
Maybe less of that. So that whole process, trying different actions, study methods, seeing the rewards, grades, and adjusting to find the best approach over time that really mirrors how an RL agent learns.
Okay, yeah, that clicks. That makes the whole agent environment action reward loop much clearer.
Mm.
Now, you threw out a few specific terms earlier that you said were important for RL. Can we revisit those, define them a bit more?
Definitely. Good idea. So we've covered agent, environment, state, action, and reward. Those are the basics.
Right.
Now let's talk about the policy. We mentioned it briefly. The policy is basically the agent's decision-making function. It's the rule book or the brain that tells the agent what action to take when it's in a particular state.
So state X happens. The policy says do action Y.
Pretty much, yeah. Or sometimes it's probabilistic. In state X, do action Y 70% of the time and action Z 30% of the time.
Okay. Then what about the value function?
Ah, the value function. Think of this as the agent's long-term forecast. It estimates how much total future reward the agent can expect to get if it starts in a particular state and then follows its policy from that point onwards.
So it's like a prediction of how good is it to be here in the long run?
Exactly. It's an assessment of the long-term potential of a state, assuming you stick to your strategy.
And closely related, you mentioned the Q value. How's that different?
Right. The Q value or quality value, it's a bit more specific. It asks, if I'm in this state right now and I take this particular action, what's the total future reward I can expect to get after that?
Okay. So value function is about the state itself. Q value is about the state and taking a specific action from it.
You got it. Q values are often really useful for deciding which action to take because you can compare the Q values for all possible actions in your current state and just pick the one that promises the best long-term outcome.
That makes sense. Okay, there were two other terms I remember hearing about. One was about trying new stuff versus sticking with what works.
Ah, yes. A classic dilemma in RL. That's the exploration-exploitation trade-off.
Right. Exploration versus exploitation.
The agent constantly has to balance these two things. Should it explore by trying out actions it hasn't done much before, maybe even random actions, hoping to stumble upon something even better?
Find a hidden gem strategy.
Exactly. Or should it exploit its current knowledge by sticking with the actions that it already knows have given good rewards in the past?
Play it safe.
Kind of. Finding the right balance is crucial. Too much exploration and you waste time on bad moves. Too much exploitation and you might get stuck in a decent strategy but miss out on a truly great one.
So how do you find that balance?
That's a big area of research. There are lots of strategies like being more exploratory early on when you know less and then gradually becoming more exploitative as you learn more. Or using techniques like epsilon greedy where most of the time you exploit but with a small probability, epsilon, you take a random exploratory action.
Interesting. Okay, and the last term was something about future rewards mattering less.
Ah, the discount factor.
Next.
Often written as gamma. It's a number, usually between 0 and 1.
Okay.
It basically tells the agent how much it should care about rewards that are further off in the future compared to rewards it can get right now.
So like a patience level.
That's a good analogy. If the discount factor is high, say close to 1, it means future rewards are valued almost as much as immediate ones. The agent is patient. thinking long term.
And if it's low, close to zero,
then the agent is more short-sighted. It heavily prioritizes getting rewards now and doesn't worry much about what happens later. The choice of discount factor really depends on the problem you're trying to solve.
Okay, that makes sense. So if someone actually wanted to, you know, build one of these RL systems, what's the general process? What are the steps?
Yeah, there's a kind of typical workflow, though it can be iterative.
Right.
First, you've got to define the problem very clearly. What exactly do you want the agent to achieve? What are the goals?
Step one. Know what you do.
Pretty much. Then you need to design the environment. Right. What does the world look like to the agent? What are all the possible states it can be in? What actions can it take in each state?
Okay. Setting the stage.
Crucially, step three is defining the reward function. This is super important because it's the only guidance the agent gets. You have to decide exactly what actions or outcomes get positive rewards, which get negative, and how much.
Getting the incentives right.
Absolutely critical. Then you design the agent itself. What kind of algorithm will it use? What are its internal workings?
Choose your learning method.
Right. Then comes the main part, training the agent. You let it loose in the environment, or often a simulation of the environment. It interacts, takes actions, gets rewards, and updates its policy or value functions based on that experience. This can take a long time, lots of trial and error.
Okay, the learning phase.
After training, you have to test the agent's performance. See if it actually learned what you wanted it to. Does it achieve the goals effectively?
Check your work.
And finally, if it passes the tests, you deploy the trained agent into the real system or application.
Let it out into the wild.
But, and this is important, it's often not a one-shot deal. You usually have to monitor how it's doing and maybe go back and tweak the environment design, the reward function, or the training process. It's very iterative.
Right, so constant monitoring and adjustment might be needed. Okay, that paints a good picture of the process. Now, what really makes RL stand out? What are its defining characteristics compared to, say, other machine learning approaches like supervised learning?
That's a great question. One huge difference is the lack of direct supervision.
We touched on that. No answer key.
Exactly. In supervised learning, you train the model with data that has explicit labels. This input corresponds to this correct output. In RL, the agent just gets a reward signal. It tells the agent how good its last action was, but it doesn't tell it what the correct action should have been. It has to figure that out itself.
Okay, learning from feedback, not instructions.
Right. Another key thing is sequential decision making. RL is almost always about making a whole sequence of decisions over time. One action leads to a new state, which leads to the next action, and so on. And these decisions are linked. An action taken now can have consequences much later.
So time is really important.
Absolutely crucial. The timing of actions and the long-term impact matter a lot. Which leads to another point, delayed feedback.
Ah, yeah, the chess example. You don't know if that first move was good until much later.
Precisely. The reward for a sequence of actions might only come at the very end. This makes it hard for the agent to know which specific actions in that sequence were the truly good ones. It's called the credit assignment problem.
How does it solve that? Assigning credit back in time.
That's where the algorithms get clever. Things like value functions and cue values help propagate that future reward information back to earlier states and actions so the agent can learn those long-term connections.
Okay. Any other key characteristics?
One more big one. The agent's actions affect the data it sees. Unlike supervised learning, where you have a fixed data set, in RL, the agent's choices determine which states it visits and what rewards it gets. This leads directly back to that exploration-exploitation trade-off we talked about. It has to explore to see new parts of the environment, but exploit to get rewards.
So its own behavior changes the world it learns from.
In a sense, yes. It shapes its own learning experience.
Okay, that really clarifies what makes RL unique. Now, you mentioned algorithms. I know there are different families or types. Could you give us a rundown of the main categories?
Sure. Broadly speaking, we often divide RL algorithms into two main camps. Model-based and model-free.
Model-based and model-free. Okay.
Model-based RL is where the agent tries to learn an internal model of how the environment works.
Like it builds its own simulation?
Kind of, yeah. It tries to predict, if I'm in this state and I take this action, what state will I end up in next and what reward will I get?
And if it has that model?
It can use that model to plan ahead. It can simulate different action sequences internally and choose the one that looks best according to its model without having to actually try everything in the real world.
That sounds efficient.
It can be, especially if learning the model is easier than learning a policy directly. Or if you need to be very sample efficient, meaning you can't afford too many real-world interactions.
Okay, so what's model-free RL then?
Model-free agents, as the name suggests, don't bother learning an explicit model of the environment dynamics.
They just learn by doing.
Pretty much. They learn directly either the best policy, what action to take in each state, or they learn the values of states or state action pairs, like those value functions and Q values we discussed. They figure out what works through trial and error without necessarily understanding why it works in terms of the environment's rules.
So, which is more common?
Model-free methods are probably more widely used, especially in complex problems where building an accurate model of the environment is really difficult or impossible, like in many games or complex robotic tasks.
And you said model-free breaks down further.
Right. Within model-free, we often talk about value-based methods. These focus on learning those value functions or Q values, and then the policy is often simply to pick the action with the best value.
Like Q learning.
Q learning is a classic example, yes. And then there are policy-based methods. These try to learn the policy directly. They learn a function that maps states straight to actions without necessarily needing value functions in the middle, though often they use value functions to help improve the policy learning.
Okay, so model-based builds a map. Model-free learns the route directly, either by valuing locations or just learning the turns.
That's a pretty good analogy, yeah.
We also heard about positive and negative reinforcement earlier. How do those concepts work in RL?
Right, these relate directly to how the reward signal shapes behavior. Positive reinforcement is about strengthening a behavior by giving a positive reward after the behavior occurs.
The tree.
The treat, exactly. So if our self-driving car successfully merges onto the highway, we give it a positive reward. This makes it more likely to use that successful merging strategy again.
The advantages.
Well, it directly encourages the things you want the agent to do. It can increase how often it does them, make it perform them better, and lead to lasting changes in behavior. The potential downside, maybe if you give rewards for everything, they lose their impact, a sort of overload.
Okay. And negative reinforcement. This isn't punishment, right?
But crucially, no, that's a common confusion. Negative reinforcement also strengthens a behavior, but it does so by removing or avoiding something negative or unpleasant.
Taking away something bad.
Exactly. Imagine a robot arm assembling something and it starts bumping into things, creating resistance. If it adjusts its path to avoid that resistance, the removal of that negative stimulus, the resistance, reinforces the adjusted path. It learns to move smoothly to avoid the bumps.
Ah, I see. So the removal of the bad thing is the reinforcement.
Precisely. The advantages are that it's good for getting the agent to avoid undesirable situations or outcomes. And it can help ensure a sort of minimum standard of performance, like at least don't crash. The potential drawback is it might not motivate the agent to go above and beyond that minimum. It learns to avoid the bad, but maybe not actively seek the best.
That distinction is really key. Negative reinforcement increases good behavior by removing bad stuff. Punishment decreases bad behavior by adding bad stuff.
You've got it. Completely different mechanisms.
Now, reinforcement learning. It sounds incredibly powerful and flexible. Where are we actually seeing it make a difference today? What are some real-world examples?
Oh, the applications are already pretty wide-ranging and they're growing fast. Robotics is a big one, especially for industrial automation.
Like on assembly lines.
Yeah, training robots to do tricky things like picking up oddly shaped objects, placing components accurately, assembling products. RL helps them learn to do this more efficiently and adapt to variations.
Okay, what else?
Autonomous vehicles, self-driving cars. RL plays a huge role in the decision-making components.
The brain deciding when to change lanes, brake, accelerate.
Exactly, making those high-level driving decisions based on all the sensor data coming in, navigating traffic, handling unexpected situations. That's often RL at work.
Makes sense. Games, too, right? That seems like a classic test bed.
Absolutely. Game playing has been a massive driver of RL research. We've seen RL agents achieve superhuman performance in incredibly complex games like chess, Go,
AlphaGo.
AlphaGo, yes, and also loads of video games, from classic Atari games to complex modern strategy games. It's a great way to test and develop new algorithms.
What are areas like language?
Yes, natural language processing, NLP, is another area. RL is being used for things like improving text summarization, making dialogue agents' chatbots sound more natural and engaging.
Making conversations less robotic.
Hopefully. by rewarding responses that lead to better conversations. And another big one is recommendation systems.
Like on Netflix or Amazon.
Exactly. RL can be used to learn how to suggest products, movies, or articles in a sequence that maximizes user engagement or satisfaction over time, personalizing the experience more dynamically than older methods.
Wow. So it's really quite pervasive already.
It is, and these are just some headline examples. It's popping up in areas like resource management, optimizing chemical reactions, finance. The field is moving really quickly.
It's really fascinating to see this core idea, learning from trial and error, from consequences being applied to solve such complex and diverse problems. So as we kind of wrap up this deep dive, how would you summarize the absolute essence of reinforcement learning for everyone listening?
Okay, the nutshell version. Reinforcement learning is a way for an agent, a computer program usually, to figure out the best way to behave in a particular situation or environment. It learns this not by being told what to do, but by trying things out, actions, and getting feedback, rewards, or penalties from its environment.
Trial and error, guided by rewards.
Exactly. And over time, through this cycle of action and feedback, it learns a strategy, a policy that aims to get the most possible cumulative reward in the long run.
And it's a real shift from something like supervised learning, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Where you need that big data set with all the right answers labeled up front.
It really is. Here, the learning is much more autonomous, driven by the agent's own interaction with its world and the consequences it experiences. It's about learning how to act, not just recognizing patterns in data.
Well, this has been incredibly insightful. Really helps to demystify reinforcement learning and see both the mechanics and the potential. It definitely opens your mind to how machines can learn to make smart decisions in really complicated dynamic settings.
Mm.
It kind of leaves you wondering, doesn't it, about where this could go next?
Yeah.
Thinking about your own field or areas you're interested in, how could this RL approach, this learning from feedback, tackle complex decision-making problems there?
That's a great question to ponder.
Imagine applying it to optimizing, I don't know, city traffic flow or developing personalized therapy plans or even helping scientists design new experiments. How would you define the rewards in those situations to guide an agent towards truly useful discoveries or solutions?
Yeah, thinking about how you'd structure those rewards and define the goals for an RL agent in those kinds of complex real-world systems, it really does spark the imagination about future possibilities. It's a powerful framework for thinking about automated decision-making and learning.